As the worship team takes a seat, would you please turn with me in your Bibles to our passage of the year, 2 Corinthians 4. If you're using one of our Bibles that we provide, you'll find that on page 965. 2 Corinthians 4, we're going to be reading verses 6 and 7. Before we read the Corinthians passage, I also want us to read from the Old Covenant books. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. You'll find that on page 600 in our Bibles. Now, while the whole chapter of Isaiah 40 is so encouraging, we're just going to focus our attention this morning on verses 27 to 31. So 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7, and Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. The word of the Lord. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, so has this ever happened to you? You have been singing a song for years. You hear a song on the radio, a familiar song, you sing along, and then you thought you knew all the words until one day you do a Google search on the lyrics because you want to use the song in a sermon. Has that ever happened to you? Anyway, you find out you have been singing the wrong words for years. Well, this happened to me this past week. I had been singing a song wrong for 38 years. A very popular song came out in 1985. I was 15 at the time. It was a great song then. It's a great song now. Jack Parr's St. Elmo's Fire. Particularly the chorus is where I erred. It goes like this. I can see a new horizon underneath the blazing sky. I'll be where the eagle's flying higher and higher. Gonna be your man in motion. All I need is a pair of... I sang wings. I mean, it's logical, right? If I'm going to be up where the eagles are flying, I'm going to need a pair of wings, right? But that's not the correct word. Correct word is wheels. So it goes like this. I'm going to be your man in motion. All I need is this pair of wheels. Take me where my future's lying, St. Elmo's Fire. So what's interesting about the song is that while Jack Parr wrote it for the movie, it's not about the movie at all. In fact, Jack Parr never even saw the movie. The song is really about a Canadian athlete named Rick Hansen. Rick was in a car crash when he was 15 years old, and it left him paralyzed from the waist down. And in 1985, Rick Hansen began what he called his Man in Motion tour. He traveled about 70 miles a day in his wheelchair to raise money for spinal cord research. When he completed the tour 2 years later, 1987, Rick had put 25,000 miles on his wheelchair in 34 countries on 4 continents, and he raised $26 million. And Jack Parr was so inspired by this story that he wrote the song about Rick Hansen and his tenaciousness. This is why the correct lyrics are, gonna be your man in motion, all he needs this pair of wheels for his wheelchair. Take me where my future's lying, St. Elmo's Fire. I can climb the highest mountain, cross the wildest sea. I can feel St. Elmo's fire burning in me. Now you're probably thinking, what in the world does this have to do with our verse of the year? Glad you asked. Perhaps it might help if I explain what St. Elmo's fire really is. St. Elmo's fire is a weather phenomenon. It was particularly seen by sailors. At night, they would see this blue or this violet light emitting around the masts and sails of their ships. Now, we know today it was caused by a strong atmospheric electrical field, especially if a storm was coming. And it's really beautiful if you do an image search for St. Elmo's fire. Not now, after the service. It's called St. Elmo's fire in honor of St. Erasmus of Formia, a.k.a. St. Elmo, who was the patron saint of sailors. So in the song, Jack Parr poetically sings that Rick Hansen had the power to do all that he could do because of this mysterious fire burning within him, St. Elmo's fire, to climb the highest mountain, to cross the wildest sea, which is not true at all. Truth be told, it was Rick's girlfriend, who later became his wife, who was his constant inspiration to keep on going. So now you see what one little mistake of a word leads me down such a crazy rabbit trail. Welcome to my world. But what if I told you that we, as believers in Christ, really do have a fire burning in us that enables us to do the impossible? Look again at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27. Why do the nations say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? You see, there is a tendency in all of us to think that God overlooks us, that he's more concerned with like more powerful, popular Christians. That my right, or it could be also translated, my judgment, my thoughts, God doesn't care about them. God doesn't care about the little thoughts that I think on a daily basis. And God answers in verse 28. Look at verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. It's a beautiful reply where God says, don't you know? Haven't you heard? In other words, why have you forgotten about the Lord? And Isaiah here reminds us of some of God's attributes. He is the everlasting God. He will never wear out. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. Everything that we see was created by him. He, our God, never faints or grows weary. Our God never runs out of steam. You will never see God keel over and say, hold on, let me catch my breath. That does not happen with our God. Now, young people, they faint, they grow weary, they stumble in exhaustion, but not the people of God, because God gives them strength. God gives them stamina. Look at this final verse in 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This verse is a promise for you and me, that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? It's a fancy way of saying hope. It is waiting with steadfast endurance. Waiting on the Lord is waiting with steadfast endurance. The other interesting word here is the word renew, where it says the Lord will renew our strength. This word can also be understood as exchange. That the Lord will exchange or renew our strength. Think about it like this. For years, L.L. Bean, up in Maine, Freeport, Maine, great store, great products. For years, they had what they called a lifetime warranty policy. So if you had any L.L. Bean product and it wore out or broke or just didn't perform the way it was supposed to, you could send it back to the store and they would replace it, exchange it with a brand new one. And if it was a discontinued item, they would send you the latest and greatest item that was its replacement. In fact, Tara had a coat years ago she got from L.L. Bean, and it kind of finally fell apart. She sent it to L.L. Bean. They sent her a brand new one, top of the line. This is what we're looking at here, that God exchanges our strength for new strength. That's the promise. Now, these verses, again, let me remind you, they're figurative. I mean, how cool would it be, come on, if they were literal, to be able to sprout wings and fly? Or how cool would it be to run out and run several marathons back to back without getting weary or falling over? I mean, we'd be like Captain America. I could do this all day. No, God speaking metaphorically, spiritually speaking, that those who endure patiently, looking to the Lord will renew their strength and give them spiritual stamina. They will persevere. And the fulfillment of this passage is found in Christ Jesus. Or as 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,'" remember, he's the creator of the ends of the earth, "has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The Message translates it like this. It started when God said, "Light up the darkness," and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. This is the treasure that we have in jars of clay, in these earthly vessels that do wear out and get weary, that we have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God within us if we're believers. And I can't begin to explain it or understand it, but it is glorious. And if you have this hope in Christ, you have that same light burning in you. It's so much better than St. Elmo's fire. You know, a few weeks ago, Ben was preaching. He said something in his sermon that I have been chewing on in a glorious way. The criticism that we Christians get at times by saying, "Oh, Jesus, he's just a crutch for you." And I love what Ben said, and I've kind of extended this more. Yes, he is, but oh, he's more than a crutch. He's my wheelchair. In fact, he's more than my wheelchair that I sit in. He's my IV pumping himself into me. He's my ventilator. He's my life support. He told his disciples in John 15, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, if you disconnect yourself from me, you'll die. You can do nothing." What a great image as we come to the table. Let me put it like this, extending this crutch metaphor. It's like we're laying in a hospital bed, decaying, dying, and we code, we flatline, our hearts stop. We're dead. And Jesus comes into our hospital room. He sits down, and he takes an IV, and he puts it into his arm. And he takes the other, and he puts it into our IV. And he begins to pump his blood into us. He takes our dead blood, and he gives us his blood. He taps into our IVs. And I am resurrected. I am resuscitated. Color comes back. Life comes into me. I open my eyes, and the first thing I see is Jesus. Love and light pouring from him over me. He helps me, and I sit up, and I begin to feel invincible. And Jesus says, "Follow me." I get out of bed, walk out with Jesus, and we go out and we run a marathon. With his blood, his strength, his life pulsating in me. That's the gospel. And this meal is a reminder that it's not about us, it's about him. Let's pray.